Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Good to be back. Shabbos Kodesh. I was in the mood to learn about Shabbos Kodesh together. I know today's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, right? But a Jew lives with Shabbos all the time. And it's one of the Aseret Dibros that we're introduced to in this week's Parsha. And I thought, why not give us a little chizuk for Shabbos? It's always exciting to learn about Shabbos. And the truth is, the Gemara actually tells us we have to be learning about Shabbos and thinking about Shabbos and reminding ourselves what an incredible gift Shabbos is. Because if not, you end up taking it for granted. Someone could give you a present, a gift, an opportunity, and you may not even say thank you or even realize what it is. The Gemara tells us in source number one. The Gemara says, Amar Rava bar Machasya, Amar Rav Chama bar Gurya, Amar Rav. Hanosein matana lechaveiro. Rav taught that if one gives a gift to his friend or her friend, tzarech lahodio, you need to tell the person. You need to tell the person what? You need to tell them that I'm sending you a gift. You need to explain to them this is a gift. So when the grandmother gives her grandson like the 17th sweater, she has to remind him that he should be appreciative that he got another sweater. Like what does that mean? I think it means a number of things. But what Chazal are telling us is that sometimes a person receives a gift and doesn't even realize that it's a gift. And the Gemara goes on to say that when Hashem introduced Himself to Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of Shabbos, in the third line, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Matana tova yeshli bebeis genazai. I have an amazing gift in beis genazai in my treasure chest. In the place where I keep my most prized possessions. V'Shabbos Shema. And the name of the gift is Shabbos. V'ani mevakesh litna liYisrael. And I want to give it to the Jewish people, but I can't give it to them if they're not going to appreciate it. So Moshe Rabbeinu leich v'hodia. Let the Jewish people know that I want to give them Shabbos. And I hope that when they receive it, they'll understand what a gift it is. I'm sure all of us can relate to the fact that some people think Shabbos is a gift and some people think it's not. There are people, and I hope it's none of us, but we've probably all encountered someone, if not having had this feeling ourselves at some point in our life, where we felt that Shabbos could be a burden. Shabbos is so restrictive, Shabbos is so demanding, Shabbos is so limiting. And then there are moments in our life where we wouldn't survive without Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos is the focal point of my existence. Shabbos revives my spirit. Not just my body to be able to rest, but Shabbos actually gives me life, gives me chiyus, gives me energy to be a Jew. I read recently, one of the Rebbeim in YU shared with me that Rabbi Yehuda Amital, who was the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Gush, of Yeshivat Har Etzion. So there was a Shabbos, there was once this Shabbos, a Shabbaton, I'm not sure exactly what the context was. Jews came together for a Shabbos, a beautiful Shabbos. And over the course of that Shabbos, there were some people who were there who were fully observant, some people who were less observant. At the end of the Shabbos, a young woman comes over to Rav Amital. It says, quote, Harav, I was so inspired by this Shabbos, I decided I want to be fully observant. I'm ready to be Chozer B'Tshuva. And I'm not sure where to start. I know that I want to get there, I don't know where to begin. So Amital said to her, you should begin exactly the way the Jewish people began. So she says, what does that mean? So he showed her the following. It's from this past week's parsha. Vayitzak el Hashem, vayoreyu Hashem eitz. The Jewish people find themselves in a predicament. The water is bitter, there's nothing to drink. Everyone's panicked. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem, and Hashem says, Maishala, relax. Hashem shows Moshe some type of eight, some type of tree, some type of wood. He throws it into the water. The water becomes sweet. And the pasuk concludes, Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat. It was in that place, Mara, the place of the bitter water. It was there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu assigned chok and mishpat. What does that mean? Chazal tells us, the Gemara tells us, Rashi quotes it, that in Mara the Jewish people were given a number of mitzvos. In other words, before we get to Kabbalah Satorah, this week's parsha, there were a couple mitzvos, we got the advanced copy. What were those mitzvos? Says Rashi in source number 3, Sham Samlo, Bimara Nasan Lahem Miksas Parshios Shel Torah. She is Askubem, a training course. You know, before you sign up for like the full package, so you know, a 30-day free trial. So Hashem says to the Jewish people, I'm gonna give you a couple of mitzvahs to try out. You should be busy with them, and we'll use that as a springboard to come to Kabbalah Satorah. What were the mitzvahs? Rashi identifies three based on the Gemara: Shabbos, Parah Aduma, and Dinim. What does that mean? Shabbos is Shabbos, Parah Aduma is Parah Aduma. Dinim means some type of ethical law. Create a moral framework by which you can adjudicate. Okay. So Rabbi Amital said the following. He said, why these three? What's special about these three? Again, the pasuk says, Chok u'mishpat. Chok usually refers to mitzvos that we don't understand, that go beyond our rational mind. Right? Mishpat is usually the things that we think we understand, at least on a certain human level. So he said, what the pasuk is telling us and what Chazal are revealing to us, and my recommended course of action for you to become a fully observant Jew, is to follow this recipe. Number one, pick a mishpat. Let's go backwards for a second. Let's start with mishpat. Pick a mishpat, pick a mitzvah, not only that you understand, but that you feel connected to. Pick a mitzvah that's a mishpat that makes sense to you, that you're excited by, that you find it so engaging, you find it meaningful, you find it purposeful, it makes sense to you, okay, not just in a intellectual way, but you connect to. And that's dinim, right? Dinim represents those, that the framework of living that makes sense. But to be a Jew, to be an inspired Jew, you can't just pick mitzvahs that you like. You have to pick something that's on the opposite end of the spectrum. You have to pick something like a parah aduma, something that you totally don't understand, with a degree of total, utter surrender to Hashem. Hashem says to do this, I don't really get it, it's a chok, and I do it anyways. Again, it doesn't have to be something that's a chok, but to you is a chok, he said. Something you don't understand, but you do with a degree of surrender to Hashem. Pick a mitzvah in the category of chok, in the category of parah aduma. But then Rav Amital said to this woman, and I think it's so true, he said to her, it's not by chance that it was this incredible Shabbos that we had together that inspired you to come over to me to have this conversation. It was Shabbos. How many Jews have found their connection to Torah and mitzvahs through Shabbos? And the answer is many. Many. Because you need to have Shabbos. That's what he said there. You need a chok, you need a mishpat, you need, so to speak, the paradigmatic parah aduma, you need something that makes sense to you, but you need Shabbos Kodesh. A Jew needs Shabbos Kodesh. And that's what this Gemara is telling us back in source number one. It's the Matana Tova. Hashem says, it's my greatest gift. I keep it in my most treasured storehouse. I guard it, and I only want to give it to the Jewish people with their understanding of just how incredibly special it is. Now, I want to remind us that, like many things in Ruchnias and spirituality, it's only as good as you make it. And that's really what Hashem is saying here. You want to get the most out of Shabbos, you have to know what it is. You have to appreciate what it is. Let's use another example. We'll dip back into last week's Parsha one more time. Let's talk about the Man. The Man is a very... I'm like a big fan of the Man. The Man I find to be so interesting. You have the spiritual food. It's physical food, but it's like the spiritual food. The Gemara said that it was so holy and so perfectly calibrated that it was entirely absorbed within the body. There was no solas, there was no need to use the bathroom afterwards. The man could taste like whatever you wanted it to taste like. The man is this great, mysterious food. The Ramban describes the man as, he uses words that are hard to even, you know, process what that means. It's almost like Hashem's presence in edible form. It's the ziv ha-shechina, it's the radiance of the shechina, whatever that means, in some type of tangible form. It's a very holy food. The Ramban calls it the food of the angels. That's already found in Chazal. It's the food, he says, that your neshama is sustained by when it leaves this world, whatever that means. It's holy stuff. But we first really have a reference to the man all the way back in Parshas Bereishis. Let's go back to Bereishis, Perek Beis, and source number four. What's special about Shabbos? Vayavarech Elokim es yom ha-shvi, vayikadesh oso, kivo shavas mikol malachto asher bara Elokim la'asos. And we know that one of the ways that Shabbos is vayivarech, it's blessed, vayikadesh, and is sanctified, Rashi tells us, is through the man. Because you didn't collect the man on Shabbos. You collected a double portion of the man on Erev Shabbos. Rashi explains in source number 5, Vayuvarech Vayikadesh, that Shabbos is blessed and Shabbos is sanctified. Berucho b'man. How did Hashem bless Shabbos? Hashem blessed it with the man. What does that mean? Shekol yemos hashvua yored lahem omer lagulgoles. Every day of the week you got your daily ration, daily portion of man, omer lagulgoles, an omer per individual. Uveshishi lechabishna. But Shabbos is special. You don't work on Shabbos. You prepare everything in advance. Friday you get a double portion. So that's why you varich, that's how Hashem blessed Shabbos with the man, that you got the double portion in anticipation of Shabbos. V'kitsho b'man, and Hashem also sanctified Shabbos with the man, shelo yarad klal b'Shabbos. Not only did you get your portion of man on Friday, but the man didn't descend at all on Shabbos. It was a different type of day. V'amikra katuv al ha'asir. And the mikra, the pasuk, is written based on what's going to be in the future. So already from the beginning of creation, Hashem, when He first introduces Shabbos, Hashem says, you know, what's going to make Shabbos special? The man. But what does that mean? I mean, there's a lot of things that are special about Shabbos. We got the man on Erev Shabbos. Okay. So I want to ask you a very interesting question about the man. This question goes back to Parshas Vayakel Pekudei from the year 1930. Because Shabbos Vayakel Pekudei, in the year 1930, Rabbi Shimon Schwab, who was a young yeshiva bacher at the time, Rabbi Schwab spent a Shabbos with the Chafetz Chaim, which is pretty incredible. Chafetz Chaim passed away in 1933. So the Chafetz Chaim was one of the Ziknei Yisrael, the Gadol Hador. Rabbi Schwab was with the Chafetz Chaim for Shabbos, Vayakel Pekudei, Taf Reish Tzadi, in the year 1930. And over Shabbos, the Chafetz Chaim asked the following question. And Rabbi Schwab records this in the Sefer on Chumash in source number 6, the Mayan Beis HaShoeva. The question appears at the end of the second line. Eiza ta'am ta'am misha achol lilo kavana lilo machshava pratis. The Chavetz Chaim raised the following question at the Shabbos table. We know that the man would taste like whatever you had in mind. So the Chavetz Chaim asked, what would the man taste like if you ate the man without a particular kavana? Lilo machshava pratis, without a particular intention. What was the man like if you didn't, you know, meditate on your favorite, I don't know, steak and fries or your favorite flavor of ice cream? What was the status quo of the man without a particular kavana? No, interesting question. What would you say? What would you think? I would have said that the Torah tells us what the man tasted like. Right? The Torah describes the man as some type of honey wafer. It's a little unclear exactly what it is. Torah's description of it, some type of sweetened dough, maybe, I don't know, jelly donuts or something, it's a little unclear. But that's what I would have thought. I would have thought that the man has kind of like a baseline, as presented by the Torah, and if you want to change it into something that you really enjoy, so you can picture that thing, and the man has this incredible mystical quality, this magical quality that it's able to be transformed. The Chafetz Chaim said that's not correct. Rav Schwab describes how, you know, and he quotes throughout his Sefer different encounters from that Shabbos. The theme pretty much was when the Chafetz Chaim asked the question, everyone was too scared to answer. So he sat there and the Chafetz Chaim answered the question himself. So he writes in the third line, Al she'ilaso shel ha'tzadik. In response to the question of the tzadik, the Chafetz Chaim, lo higiv af echad min ha'nochachim. No one present was prepared to offer a suggestion. V'hu ha'Chafetz Chaim atzmo himshich v'tiritz es she'ilaso. So the Chafetz Chaim said, okay, so I'll move ahead with my response. And he offered the following answer. The Chafetz Chaim said, and I'll spare you my poor Yiddish, but the Chafetz Chaim answered, if a person doesn't think, then the man doesn't taste like anything. The Chafetz Chaim said, if you eat the man, such a holy experience, and you don't put your brain into it, you don't put your heart into it, you don't meditate on that, you're not mindful of that, if you're kind of just going through the motions without even thinking about it, if a person thinks not, then the man tastes not, says the Chafetz Chaim. You don't think, it doesn't taste. Klomar, Adam she'eino choshev, eino mechavein inyano, ein lo chashivos. The Chafetz Chaim said, because how could a person be engaged in such a holy opportunity and not bother to put himself or herself into it? How could that be? And then the Chafetz Chaim concluded and said an amazing thing. Uvechein mi she'achal asaman v'lo kiven, lo chashav al tam, lo hirgish be'emes shum tam b'ma'achalo, ki lelo machshav ha'ein tam. If you don't think, it doesn't. It's not an experience. The Chafetz Chaim went on to explain, it's not on the page in front of you, the Chafetz Chaim went on to explain, and the same thing is true, said the Chafetz Chaim, about redemption, about Geula, about Mashiach. It's actually one of the scariest things I think I ever read from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim says, if you don't look forward to Mashiach's arrival, if you don't anticipate Mashiach, if you're not excited about Mashiach, then you know what could happen? Mashiach could come, and you could say, that's it, that's the whole thing. Oh, that's not what I expected. You can be totally unmoved by it, uninspired by it. It can be happening all around you and you're totally missing it. That's a terrifying thought. But what the Chafetz Chaim is revealing to us, what we learn from the Man, which again is so much about the Shabbos experience as Rashi taught us, and Shabbos, of course, is also a taste of the world to come. It's a Mashiach-like, Olam Haba-like experience. So if you're not engaged, if you're not involved, if you don't anticipate it, if you don't have like your Erev Shabbos playlist, if you don't make a good potato kugel, if you don't try to tap into Shabbos, and again, I'm just offering, you know, superficial types of things, but if you're not engaged, if you're not trying to feel the spirit of Shabbos, so you could be in it, and to a person, God forbid, it could be a burden. Or at the very least, it could just be, whatever, it's another Shabbos. Shabbos comes, it goes. If I miss it this week, I'll catch it next week. The Chafetz Chaim says, no, spiritual things require intention. The more kavanah you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. And that, my friends, is a rule for all of Avodas Hashem. How does Hashem introduce himself to Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim? So Moshe gets the invitation by the Sneh. Moshe is assigned to save the Jewish people. Moshe says, I'm not sure. Hashem talks him into it. Moshe says, okay, God, how should I introduce you to the Jewish people? What's your name? So Hashem says, I'll tell you my name. He doesn't say Hashem, Yurke Vavke. He doesn't say Elokim. Hashem says, Eheye Asher Eheye, which is the name of Hashem. Eke Asher Eke. I will be what I will be. Aleph Hey and Yud and Hey is actually a name of Hashem. We're not supposed to say it. It's also a Hebrew word, Eheye, I will be. But it's a name of Hashem. It's one of the names of Hashem. Eke Asher Eke. I will be what I will be. What kind of name is that? So Rashi says, Hashem was saying, I'll be with you now, I'll be with you in your future struggles. It's Hashem's name of looking out for us in the tough times. Writes the Netziv in his commentary on Chumash, the Hamek Davar, in source number 7. You know what it means, Ehayah Asher Ehayah, I'll be what I'll be? Let's translate it like this. I will be, Asher Ehayah, I will be what you make me to be. Hashem says to the Jewish people, you want to know what type of God I am? It's actually not up to me, it's up to you. You're going to decide what this is going to be. Look at his words. Ein ha'ofen barur ka'es. Hashem says to Moshe, this is my name, but my name is, I can't tell you what my name is yet. I'm not able to say quite yet. Mishum shezeh toloi b'hachonas ha'mekablim. Because it depends how you choose to receive me. Do I receive Hashem as this controlling taskmaster in Shemayim? Do I see Hashem as Avinu Shva Shemayim, a loving parent who only wants to guide us through life, and that's what the mitzvahs are about? How do I receive the whole thing? Kafa Leim Harki Gigis, this week we're getting the Torah. Is the mountain over our head because Hashem is holding a gun to our head and threatening us into accepting the Torah? Is it a chuppah? Like Chazal paint an image of the canopy over our heads as we marry Hashem at Har Sinai? Which is it? And the answer is, it's not up to me, says Hashem. Hashem tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow, like it says in Tehillim. Your shadow follows your lead. You set the tone, Hashem says. Ehayah asher ehayah, I will be what you make of me. If you want Torah and mitzvot to be a beautiful and sweet experience with the right attitude, it can be that. If you want it to be the thing that gets in the way of you living the life that you intended for yourself, it could be that also. And it could be a miserable experience. And the same thing is true for everything in Yiddishkeit, but in particular, the things that matter most, those central mitzvot like Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh, which defines so much a person's Judaism. A person who doesn't keep Shabbos in a certain way has detached oneself from the essence of what it means to live a connected life. Because what does every Shabbos declare? Why is Shabbos such a big deal? Why is Shabbos so fundamental? Why does it carry more weight than some of the other mitzvot in a certain sense? So, we come to our Sinai this week. Hashem starts to talk. And Hashem gives us a mitzvah in source number 8, Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosh. Recall the Shabbos, remember the Shabbos, live with the Shabbos, and sanctify the Shabbos. How do we live with Shabbos? Today's Wednesday. How do we live with Shabbos? I'm just remembering now a funny story. That there was one time there was a bris, and the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim of Sanz, spoke at the bris. And I'm not sure what moved him to talk about Shabbos, but at some point in his drasha, he started talking about the incredible zchus of what it means to have Shabbos. And he was creating this like incredible feeling of Shabbos. It was like a Tuesday morning on a bris. And after the bris, two relatives of the Divrei Chaim ran into each other at the mikvah. And as they're like going to the mikvah, as they got to the mikvah, they're like, wait a minute, why are you at the mikvah? He's like, because what do you mean? I always go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. He's like, I do too. And then they looked at each other like, wait a minute, it's Tuesday. It's not Erev Shabbos. They had heard the Divrei Chaim speak so lovingly about Shabbos. They were like overcome with the spirit of Shabbos that they started getting into their Erev Shabbos routine. But there's a deep truth to that because we're supposed to live with Shabbos every day. When we say the Shir Shel Yom, Hayom Yom, Rishon, B'Shabbos, Sheni, B'Shabbos, today is Wednesday, B'Shabbos. That's what we say in the Shir Shel Yom. Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosh, remember the Shabbos, it's a constant mitzvah. It's not just remember the Shabbos on Shabbos. How do I infuse my week with Shabbos? You could say Havdalah until Tuesday. You know why? Because Chazal say that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is considered after Shabbos. I'm still, the lingering effect of what? Of the previous Shabbos is still in the world. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is already anticipation for the coming Shabbos. It's so interesting that how does the Shir Shel Yom for Wednesday end? What are the psukim that conclude? L'chun aranana. It's Kabbalah Shabbos. Wednesday morning, you're davening Shachris and you're already thinking, it's time to start making hachanas for Shabbos. Because a Jew lives with Shabbos all week. Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosh. So let's turn over to the second side of the page. Let's learn a Ramban together. The Ramban is so fundamental to give us Yisodos and Amunah. Let's see what the Ramban says. What's the Pshat? The Ramban has a lot to say about Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosh. But let's understand a little bit. Val derech ha-pshat amru, Chazal tell us in the Medrash Mechilta, shehi mitzvah shenizkor tamid b'chol yom es ha-shabbos, shelo nishkacheu. What does Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos demand of us? To think about Shabbos every day. A little bit every day. Mention, recall, remember the Shabbos on a daily basis so that you don't forget it. V'lo yischalif lanu b'shar hayamim. And you don't come to exchange it for a different day. What's the Ramban saying? So first of all, you want to keep track of the days, right? You don't want to accidentally start keeping Shabbos on a Wednesday. So you got to keep track of the days. So each day of the week, we remind ourselves today is Sunday, Shabbos, you know, Sunday of the week, Monday of the week, Tuesday of the week. We keep track so that we don't come to, God forbid, exchange Shabbos for another day. But the Ramban is saying really two things. He's saying, first and foremost, don't forget Shabbos, and then don't get confused and keep Shabbos on the wrong day. Most of us probably don't have a hard time, you know, keeping Shabbos on the wrong day. The Gemara has interesting cases. A person's lost in the desert, and a person, I don't know, passes out and wakes up, and they've lost track of time. They don't know what day it is. When do they keep Shabbos? In halacha, it raises a lot of interesting questions. But on a more basic level, Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos means, how do I bring Shabbos into every day of my life? Where is the Shabbos moment in my Wednesday? Where is the Shabbos moment in my Thursday? And all the more so, on Shabbos itself, how do I make my Shabbos Shabbos-tik? How do I inject more kavana, more thoughtfulness into my Shabbos? And then the Ramban writes, the Ramban says, and what's so important, why is it so fundamental that we keep Shabbos on our radar all the time? The Ramban writes, because when we recall Shabbos, we're constantly recalling, he says, Maisa Bereishis. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is the recognition that there's a creator who rested on Shabbos. And I remind myself of that. The Ramban continues in the third line, V'noda b'chol eis sheyesh la'olam borei. I remind myself by way of Shabbos that there is what? That there's a God. That the world was created by a someone, by Hashem. V'utziva osanu ba'os hazeh. And Hashem is the one who commanded me to align myself with Him through this, as it says, ki os hi beini uveneicha. This is our private club, Hashem says. The Gemara says that the world is not allowed to keep Shabbos. It was a gift that was given uniquely to us. We have to appreciate that. And the Ramban says, "V'zeh ikar gadol ba'amunas hakel." This is a fundamental principle of belief in Hashem. I don't usually give homework assignments, but I'll give a suggested reading. How's that? If you have a chance, take a look at the Chafetz Chaim's introduction to the third volume of the Mishneh Berurah, Hilchos Shabbos. The Chafetz Chaim writes a beautiful introduction to that volume, and he explains how every mitzvah corresponds to a different part of our body. We appreciate every bit of our body. It would be a tragedy, God forbid, to lose a finger or to lose a toe. But the Chafetz Chaim says there are some mitzvahs that are like the head. There are some mitzvahs that are like the heart. They're vital organs that you can't live without. That's what Shabbos Kodesh is to the Jewish people. You can't live without it. In the words of the Ramban, it's an ikar gadol. It's a fundamental principle in our belief in Hashem. V'lakach amru, and that's why Chazal say, Shahashabbos shekula keneged kol mitzvos shebatorah. Just like Talmud Torah keneged kulam, well, there's other things that are also all-encompassing mitzvos. Shabbos is keneged kol ha-mitzvos shebatorah. It's the ultimate declaration that I'm a proud Jew who believes in a creator. As Chazal tell us, Mipnei Shabba Na'id al kol ikari ha-amuna. It's through Shabbos that I declare, I testify to my belief in all the fundamentals of Torah. B'chidush, the fact that the world was created, it wasn't something that always was. It's not an olam kadmon. It's a world that was put into motion by a someone. U'v'hashkacha, and it declares that Hashem runs the world. He's mindful of the world. Hashem is involved in the world. U'v'nevua, it's the recognition that there's prophecy, there's communication, there's a world that's governed by Hashem. And my belief in Shabbos is a declaration of my belief in everything that Torah and mitzvot is all about. That's why Shabbos is so fundamental. Zachor es yom ha-Shabbos l'kadosh. How do we enter into Shabbos? So there's an image that the Divrei Shmuel, the Slonim Rebbe, brings. Actually, a number of years ago, I shared this once in a shir, and a young woman who's a very fine artist painted my family a picture of this, a beautiful painting. We have it hanging in our dining room, this picture, this Shabbos picture, which captures this image from the Slonim Rebbe. It's a beautiful picture. But this, paint this picture in your mind. Again, we've all experienced this in our own way, but it's a very powerful image. It's a beautiful picture. And for those of you who are artistic, feel free to make your own rendering of it. Hashabbosu in source number 10. Hashabbosu al derech mashal. Imagine the following. A person is holech b'derech b'geshem chazak. And I walked out, I was giving a shir in the Heights last night, and I walked out and it was raining. That's always like a bad feeling when you're somewhere where you're not in your regular place and you're trying to get to your car and now you're stuck in the rain, right? And it wasn't raining so heavily, thankfully. But imagine, you went inside and everything was good. You walk back outside and there's like this terrible storm, but you got to get to where you're going. So you have no choice. You got to push out. You don't have an umbrella. Maybe you don't even have a proper coat. Your socks are wet. Right? A person's walking in a very intense rainstorm or a snowstorm for that matter. Vahu kulo ratuv, and the person is soaked, completely soaked down to their bones. And the person is hungry, he describes. And the person is trembling from the cold. And all of a sudden, he continues in the second line, ulapesa pitom, and then suddenly, pago ba'achsanya chama. You find an inn, you find a motel, a hotel, you find a place to stay, and the lights are on, and it's nice and warm inside. V'yesham mikol tov. And you walk in, and there's food, and there's a change of clothing, and it's so comforting. V'nichnas pnima, and you enter into that place. U'pashat es bigadav haretuvim, he takes off his wet garments, and he changes into nice clean clothing, dry, and he has something warm to eat or drink. And then what happens? This person has to get back out on the road. Eventually, you're going to have to go back outside. Maybe the storm is still raging, but you know what? What a chizuk. What an encouragement it was to have those moments where I could at least feel like a person again. I could come back to myself. The Slonim Rebbe says that's what Shabbos Kodesh is. We're all trying to navigate our way through a very complicated world. But if not for that island where I can kind of just, take a breath, catch my breath, have something different to eat, like we do on Shabbos, to change my clothing, like we do on Shabbos, to rest a little, to recover a little bit, like we do on Shabbos, and then to be able to face the cold once again. It's such a powerful image. Shabbos is that achsaniya chama, that warm in, that inviting place, that gives us the chizik to go back out to the world. And that's why Chazal say, the Medrash says, we're a different person on Shabbos. It's not just that we change our clothing and our dietary routines are different on Shabbos. Right? Most people aren't eating cholent on a Monday morning. But Shabbos, the whole person, you look different on Shabbos, not just physically. Spiritually, a person is transformed on Shabbos. Says the Medrash in source number 11, Lo doma ur panov shel adam kol yemos ha-Shabbos kamo shehu doma b'Shabbos. The radiance of a person, the ur panov, the radiance of a person. There's like a glow that a person who's connected to Shabbos has that's just different. Rav Soloveitchik described in his younger years what it was like. There was a Majeser Shtibel in his neighborhood that he used to go to sometimes. And he said the people there, the regular folk from the neighborhood, just looked totally different on Shabbos, to the point that he said he didn't recognize, you know, Yankel the water carrier when he put on his Shabbos clothing. It wasn't just that he superficially he looked like a different person. But it was a transformation of his whole spirit. His face looked different. There was a glow. There was a radiance. A person has the ability to be transformed by Shabbos. But my friends, we have to enter deeply into Shabbos. You have to immerse yourself in Shabbos. What are the two mitzvos? And I say two because the Vilna Gaon presented it this way. The Vilna Gaon said there are two mitzvos that we do with our entire body. Now the truth is you could probably come up with more mitzvos. It's a good question why the Vilna Gaon counted these two. What are the two? The Vilna Gaon said, sitting in the sukkah and the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of being in Israel. Because when you're in the sukkah, your entire body is in the sukkah. And when you're in Eretz Yisrael, your entire being is surrounded by the avira, the Eretz Yisrael. And the Vilna Gaon pointed to a pasuk in Tehillim, in source number 12. Vayehi v'shalem sukko u'ma'onaso b'tzion. A pasuk that links the sukkah and Tzion, Eretz Yisrael, because these are the mitzvahs that one is fully immersed. But the truth is, one could say that Shabbos is an even more immersive experience. You know why? The Slonimah Rebbe again writes, this time in source 13, the Divrei Shmuel again. And the Nesivah Shalom mentions it in his writings on Sukkot as well. He writes that Chag HaSukkos hu b'chinas or makif. Sukkot is like a spiritual surrounding, enveloping light. Ish Yehudi nichnas kulo b'soch ha-sukkah. When you enter the sukkah, your entire being goes into the sukkah. You know, there's a tzaddik who once said, what about a mikvah? When a person goes to a mikvah, so your entire body's in the mikvah. So another tzaddik said, no, but when you go to the mikvah, you have to take off your dirty shoes. The sukkah accepts you even with your dirty shoes. The sukkah takes you, takes all of you. Right? Even with your clothing. It surrounds a person on all sides. The sukkah embraces a person. It's like a spiritual hug. That's why we find sources that tell us that sukkah is also an all-encompassing mitzvah, because after all, you put your entire being into it. It writes the Divrei Shmuel in the middle of the third line, Ela beprat echad gedola mitzvah Shabbos misukkah. But there's a certain way, in one detail, Shabbos is even greater than sukkah. Why? And you can all figure it out. Ki min ha-sukkah yochol hu gam letzeis. Because a person can leave the sukkah. When a person's in Eretz Yisrael, you can leave Eretz Yisrael. When a person's in Shabbos, wherever you are, and truthfully, whatever you're doing, you're in Shabbos. Shabbos descends on the world, and you're swimming in it. You're totally enveloped by it. Ve'ilu Shabbos kodesh b'chol makom shenimtza kedushas ha-Shabbos chofefes alav. And that's the reality of Shabbos. Shabbos descends upon the world. But our job, going back to what we learned from the Chafetz Chaim, is to immerse ourselves in it. Because the more kavana we put into it, the more Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho, the more we live with it, the more we're mindful of it, the more we try to enhance it, the more we're going to get out of it. Ehayah Asher Ehayah, it will be what you make of it. So let's just conclude. We say every day, as part of our Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem, I believe in you. And I commit myself to what? To love Hashem with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my resources. So there's an incredible remez that the Bnei Yisassar brings in the second to last source. The Bnei Yisassar of Tzvi Eli Melech of Dinov, he writes, he says that we have to love Hashem with all of our heart. We have to love Hashem with all of our soul. We have to love Hashem with all of our talents and all of our resources and all of our abilities. So he brings a beautiful remez. He says that ahava b'chol lev, Ahava b'chol nefesh, ahava b'chol ma'od, right? V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol moledecha. If we have ahava to Hashem with all of our heart, if we have ahava towards Hashem with all of our soul, when we have ahava towards Hashem with all of our resources, he says the gematria of those phrases is gematria Shabbos. Because what day can we express our love for Hashem, our investment in Hashem? I disconnect from everything else, and I come back to Hashem, and I appreciate the gift that Hashem has given me. I love Hashem. It's a feeling of the heart. It's an investment of the soul. It's a financial, b'chol ma'od. It's an investment of my resources. Ahava b'chol lev, ahava b'chol nefesh, ahava b'chol ma'od is gematria Shabbos, 702. Because Shabbos is the day where I can declare, Hashem, I really appreciate the spiritual gift that you gave me. And I understand that this is like that inn that gives me the chizuk, again, to go one step further through life. So just to conclude in the final source, the Divrei Shlomo, of Shlomo HaKohen of Radamsk, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. The pasuk that he quotes, a pasuk in Bechukosai, is really more of a pasuk about Shemitah than it is about Shabbos. Shemitah is also called Shabbos. But the Torah says, Oz tirtza ha'aretz es Shabbos osa. The world, the earth, will be appeased by the Shabbos. And of course, the ground also has to rest for Shemitah. But the world, the earth, will be appeased by Shabbos. There's a certain comfort that we get from Shabbos. What is that? Writes the Tiferes Shlomo, and he actually writes this in his writings for Shabbos Chazon. During the 3 weeks when we're going through really rough weeks, Shabbos that much more becomes that safe haven, that warm inn. Hanira lefarish kavanas hakasuf. The pasuk is telling us. Lahoros godo mailas yom haShabbos v'zman hagalus. The pasuk is telling us that there's going to be times where the earth is not settled, where we don't have Beis HaMikdash, when life is chaotic, whether it's personal, whether it's our collective Jewish experience in Galus. So what's going to be mechazik the world? Not just what's going to give me the chizik if I had a tough week. What's going to keep the world going without a Beis HaMikdash, without prophecy, without all the things that we long for with Mashiach? When Shabbos comes, not only are we appeased, not only is it a day where we restore our own souls, Yom HaDinishmasa, like the Zohar calls it, the day of the soul, but Hashem, so to speak, says, I feel a little better on Shabbos. Hashem says, because the world, I look down at my world and I want to have a Beis HaMikdash. For whatever reason, we're not there yet. But as Tirtza Haaretz as Shabbos Osel, Shabbos brings appeasement to the world. And it's not just our world, it's Hashem's world. And I can only imagine the Nachas Ruach that we give Hashem, when Hashem looks down and he says, you know what, going back to right where we started, the Gemara and Shabbos in the first source, wow, the Jewish people understand that my Matana Tova, that my good gift is truly a good gift. So I give us a bracha. You know, we have Shabbos every week. It becomes so easy to take it for granted. But let's remind ourselves, when we hear Mirtz Hashem, when we hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to us this Shabbos, Parshas Yisro, the Aseret Sedivros, Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosh. Sanctify the Shabbos, appreciate the Shabbos, Vayivarech Vayikadosh. Invest yourself in Shabbos, and never forget, again, what Rabbi Amital told that girl, that young woman, that you have to have mitzvot that you love, you have to surrender to mitzvot that you don't understand, but without Shabbos Kodesh, it's almost impossible to be a Jew. Okay, good Shabbos.